live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Just like the dude said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, we've got a great show for you today. We got some good callers lined up. We got topics that are hot. And as always, it is Monday, and Copper is running the board. Good day to you, Miss Copper.
Good day. How are you doing?
I am well. I'm doing very well.
I'm doing
I need you to get that triple dipper sound effect ready, Copper, because I'm going to go down it here in 1 second. While she's doing that, by the way, 3 p.m. today, I got callers. So you're going to want to hear one of my colleagues that I served with in the Alabama State Senate for 8 years. He has an announcement to make today. And if you haven't already heard, I'll let him tell you. But coming on at 3 p.m. is former State Senator Paul Sanford. I reckon he might be still interested in politics. We'll see what he has to say at 3 p.m. You're going to want to hear that. And then also at 4 p.m., I'm bringing somebody back on the show who is an expert in the field of human resources law. There is no topic more gamey right now across the nation for employers and employees than what's happening with these vaccine mandates. And my friend Mike Perkins is coming back on the show. He's a nationally renowned HR lawyer. He travels the nation, as a matter of fact. He's back in town from, I think, New York, where he's been assisting with issues related to this and other things. And he's going to kind of help break it down for us from an HR perspective and talk to you from the employee and employer side and tell you what your options are. So when that comes on at 4 p.m., you'll be interested to hear that. Right now, Copper, hit that triple dipper.
The Triple Dipper. 3 stories you've got to know.
Well, here it is. So first of all, understand this. Big things are happening down in Montgomery right now. Big things are happening that, you know, define like what your district lines are, who's your school board member going to be, who is your state senator going to be. All of that's being done starting today. I say starting. What they did is they got the bills in committee and they've moved them forward. And I believe we're going to start seeing these things debated on the floor very shortly. Number two in the triple dipper. Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on. Back up. There are also a number of vaccine mandate bills that seem to have gained momentum. And it'll be interesting to see where they go in the debate because that was not part of the governor's call. She chose to leave that out, but the legislature is taking it upon itself to move those arguments and debates forward. And so we're going to see what's happening in Montgomery. Number two in the triple dipper, Biden is cratering right now. Democrats are in disarray, and we're seeing right now a general sense that 2022 could go very well for conservatives, for Republicans, and even the Democrats starting to admit it now. And I'll tell you more about that because of some recent polling that just came out. Number three, here's this for you. HR, that's human resources, HR ain't for the faint of heart. There you go. HR ain't for the faint of heart. And that's going to be the hour in which I'm unpacking this with an expert here in the studio with me. And we'll go down the line and just talk about what it's like. I mean, it's got to be one of the most thankless jobs in the world right now to be a HR person in this particular arena in which the federal government has put all of them on the spot. Well, all that to say, that's your triple dipper for the day. We'll steer the show in that regard, and I think we'll be able to keep it on track. But for right now, let me just move towards some thoughts I've had because I have been watching the news and watching literally this listening area with things happening right now that are just, well, they're troubling for one, and they're confusing for another, and they're also mind-boggling. But let me do this. Let me step back and just say, okay, if I start quoting some words here, I'll just say right now, a bunch of you are going to get a song stuck in your mind, but I'm going to do it anyway. You ready? Here we go. I'm going to quote it. Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would mean a lot. All right, you know it now. Some of you guys are singing it right now as I speak. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You want to go where you can know your troubles are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name. All right, how many of y'all knew that within the first few seconds? I guarantee you, Cheers. It was the theme song to Cheers, right? One of the most successful sitcoms in TV history. It launched several careers. It had several spinoffs. The whole thing, the whole show, took place largely in one room, which was a local bar in Boston, where a regular cast of characters, you know, interacted with each other, and for the most part, it was their favorite place. And there was always some kind of a life lesson built into the comedy. sometimes a word of wisdom from one of the sages on the show, like Norm. You remember Norm? He'd always walk in the door and they'd yell, "Norm!" And then somebody would always ask him a question, and that would start the show off a lot of times. One of my favorites, by the way, is Norm. How's it going, Normie? It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear. I mean, and that's just the way that show was, but then it also had underlying sort of premises. I mean, the show was successful for a lot of reasons. Good scripting, good acting, great synergy among the cast, identifiable characterization, but it was also, though, successful because it was about life, you know? The plots were often ridiculous, but yet somehow they were relatable. And the characters were almost always ultimately loyal to one another, even though they always fought all the time. I mean, more than once they would fuss, fight, get fed up, and then come back to the bar and sit together and hash it out. You know, and God forbid that rival bar down the street should ever challenge them or cast aspersions on one of their crew, because then the whole lot of them came together to defend the honor of just the one. So that's the point. Loyalty. That's the key here for this edition of The Right Side Way. Loyalty is not that thing that is extended between enemies. Quite the opposite. Loyalty is part of the bond that is attached to people of like minds and like missions. It's defined as an adherence to a relationship, a commitment, an obligation. Loyalty is also something that is sacrificial. Loyalty is that driving force that causes one person to put their own self-interest aside to ensure that the interests of the other, of the cause, or of the mission are met and protected, even advanced, if you will. And I'll be honest with you, loyalty breeds more loyalty. It's not soon forgotten. It kind of sets in deep when someone realizes that another person stood in the gap for them, even at their own risk, even at a point when it was not to be expected. But a breach of loyalty, that is also not soon forgotten. There's an old adage, with friends like that, who needs enemies? Well, that's a euphemism that's born out of situations in which someone finds that those they thought had their back, someone or some group who was expected to step up or just be there for them when a tough time happened, they suddenly discover that their problems are now compounded by the realization that their friends are not actually their friends. It can be one of those worst moments in a crisis, especially when one party was loyal to another in hard times, but that same loyalty was not reciprocated when the tables had turned. Loyalty can then, too, be easily replaced with a sense of betrayal. So with that said, I could not help but think of what is happening at United Launch Alliance in Decatur. That's going on even as we speak. I'll caveat here, by the way, to say that I'm sure that many other employers nationwide are acting similarly, but this is the one that hits me right here in this listening area. So you may recall the other day on this show, we were breaking the news that the employees at United Launch Alliance, some of them were staging a walkout. They were protesting the company's enforcement of the vaccine mandates being foisted by the federal government. As similar protests were forming around the nation, this was the first one I had heard of in our area. And within minutes of talking about it, one of those employees called into the show from the protest. They were listening to the show, apparently, and with passion, he talked about the fact that he had worked there at United Launch Alliance for 21 years, and that during the height of the pandemic, all of those employees had received written notice from the company that because they build rockets, that they were considered vital to the national security and they must come back to work during the COVID scare, and they did. And because their company, their team, who puts astronauts into space, told them that they were essential. They were essential until they were not. One of the most disappointing aspects of this whole story, y'all, is that when Biden came out with his ill-advised vaccine mandate, he set a deadline for compliance, December 8th. December 8th. Is the deadline that ULA is facing, except that ULA leadership chose to set their own. ULA leadership decided they would have all employees, all of those essential workers who were loyal to them and showed up when they were asked to during the pandemic, they wanted all of them vaccinated by last week, 5 weeks ahead of Biden's timeline, or face the loss of their jobs. Why would they do that? The employees' sense of it is that the ULA leadership just want to be the first ones in the industry to capitalize on the goodwill of a Biden administration that would somehow see them favorably for having to bum-rush the vaccine mandates and set the deadline early. But in doing so, there are employees, well over 100, in fact, I read one article this morning that said 200, who don't want the vaccine for various reasons, to include religious exemptions, which were denied because ULA leadership, well, you know, they know a person's faith positions better than the person themselves does, surely. So let's be honest. United Launch Alliance was being pressured hard. I get it. So do those employees, by the way. No one's forgetting the heavy hand of government here. That's how ULA is successful, right? Government contracts. We all know that. But how could this have gone? How could they have handled this differently? Well, how about a script that could have gone like this? How about they call a massive employee meeting, an all call, ULA leadership meeting personally with their own folks and saying something like, you've been there for us and now we're all under the gun. So here's the deal, folks. We're going to encourage you to get the vaccination, but we know some of you have issues. So on certain dates, we're going to have some experts in here to take questions and answer them as best they can. And you'll get paid time off to attend those questions and answer sessions if you need to. And then, hey, folks, listen, ULA leadership, we're going to arrange for vaccinations right here at work so you don't have to leave if you want it. And then we're going to go all the way to the end, December 8th, as long as we can stretch it, because we know that the Attorney General is probably going to file suit and this whole thing may get tied up in court and it won't matter. But in the meantime, we want you to know that we ULA leadership are lobbying the Biden administration to delay or defer the issue. Just give us some more time at least, you know. Mr. President, please, we've got to do everything we can to protect each one of you from losing your jobs because we know that you're the reason we exist. They could have said that. They could have also asked HR to assist each one of the employees with questions or concerns, help them out with their medical or religious exemptions, told them the process they have to follow, but apparently they just canceled all of them and didn't grant them. They could have said, hey, come December 8th, we're going to have a plan that involves how we retain every single one of you that we can. We're going to keep the team together. But if someone feels they can't get the shot and don't have a real claim for exemption that we can grant, well, just understand we may have to assess your record and offer you some kind of severance and wish you the best. But we don't want that to happen. Well, if that conversation happened, y'all, I'm not familiar with it, but I don't believe it did. The employees don't feel like they were given any sense of commitment. There was no sense of loyalty. Loyalty is not easily obtained, nor is it easily lost. ULA and other employers out there have been sacrificing their folks, their team members, and it's a crying shame. Making your way in the world today does take everything you got, and it shouldn't have to be made harder by those to whom you thought there was a mutual sense of loyalty. I mean, you know, with friends like that. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, I ran long, Copper, but we'll head into that break and make up some time. But here's the bottom line, folks. Yeah, am I picking on ULA? Certainly I am. And by the way, ULA leadership, you are allowed to call into the show the same as anybody else. You can do that. I'd be glad to hear your take on it. I'd be glad to hear why you set the deadline 5 weeks early and denied 200 religious requests for religious exemptions. I don't know if you're going to have a good explanation. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. And yes, we do believe in loyalty. We'll be right back.